a different approach to education. I'm Alan Davidson, and this is Soundbites. Estonia used to be part of the former Soviet Union, and today its students rank very high on the international PISA tests. To find out why, at DLD, I spoke to someone who's an expert on the topic.
My name is Kristina Kallas, and I'm the Minister of Education and Research of Estonia.
So what's Estonia doing right for its students that's making them so successful on the international PISA tests?
Let's start with what we did right in the past so that our kids today are performing quite high in PISA tests. I think one of the key aspects is the very rigorous and academically demanding curricula that we have in school. Our academic expectations of academic performance of the kids is quite high in every age stage that they are going through year 1 to year 9 and then further year 10 to 12. So altogether that's 12 years in schools. And we have a very ambitious curricula that requires work.
And how's that different from other countries?
I've seen in many countries in past half a century, education going through the reforms which they call student-centered learning. There is a lot of decrease in academic rigor demands and more focus on some skills sections. But in Estonian system, we maintain the academic rigor demand. So you have to learn math, you have to learn reading, you have to learn science, and you have to memorize facts. Because the basic knowledge there is absolutely essential. Because you can't do critical thinking if you don't know facts. So if your facts are not there, then I don't think that you can do analysis, that you can do critical thinking.
So that's the first factor.
So the second part, I think, which is interesting, is that we think that our 15-year-olds are performing so well because they have a very good kindergarten system. It's a very widely available. 96% of the children go to kindergarten starting from the age of 1.5. It's public. It's for free. Parents usually pay 10 to 15% of the cost of the kindergarten. The rest is publicly funded. It has an education program. People who work in a kindergarten are teachers. They are educated as teachers. They are not nurses or babysitters. They are teachers. So I think the early childhood education is very fundamental as well. So that's maybe what we have done, I think, right in the past. Some political decisions regarding early childhood and political decisions regarding curriculum and rigor that you require. This is all wonderful 20th century and 21st century policy, but in the middle of 21st century where we are right now, technology enters, and very significant technology, which I call a disruptor because it disrupts a lot of teaching and learning processes that we have known so far.
And so how do you cope with that?
So you have to cope with this disruptor. I see many countries around the world reaction being, first, you keep the disruptor away from education system. Keep it somewhere outside in the society and keep doing in education system, well, let's call it clean way without having this disruptor in the classroom. Well, the bad news is that you can't do it because the kids are bringing it in. They're bringing it in on their phones. They're doing it at home. So it's there. You have to just first think to acknowledge that it's there. It's part of your learning and teaching process. So you have to deal with it. You have to integrate it.
How do you do that?
So in Estonia, we gathered a panel of experts, scientists in education and psychology, developmental psychology, and asked them, what do you think? How do we have to change the teaching and learning process in the school in AI for the AI generation? And they came up with a strategy which is not focused on how to use AI in the classroom, but which is focused about how the learning and teaching has to change in AI era. And this is what we train our teachers now.
And how did you implement that?
So we took all upper secondary teachers, that's the teachers who are teaching kids from age 16 up. Every single teacher has a right to get to the training course. We do a lot of competence building for the teachers on AI and learning and teaching with an AI. We gave them all licenses of OpenAI, ChatGPT and Google Gemini. They have those licenses. They can use them for preparing their lessons, for giving in assignments to the students. And we gave licenses to all a single student that is studying in upper secondary. So everybody who is 16 plus in Estonia, a student gets a license either to OpenAI or to Google product, mostly Gemini or ChatGPT, and they are using it for their learning assignments.
So you dove right in with the technology. And how did the teachers react to that?
So the teachers have to redo the way they teach in the classroom. Written essays as a home assignments, they are still relevant, but they have to be a different type of assignment. I always like to bring this example. One of the teachers brought to me, she's a literature teacher, Of course, she's concerned about the fact that you don't really need to read a book because AI will summarize you the book, and not very bad. Actually, it's a quite good summary. You don't have to write an essay because AI will write also an essay for you on that book. So the literature teacher was very concerned about, like, how do I teach now? But she has to teach also, you know, analysis, the ability to analyze a text, the ability to develop evaluation of certain characters in this text. So she redesigned her essay assignments by saying that ask ChatGPT to write an essay to you on that book and then have a debate with an AI about the ethical aspects of that character. And log me the debate you had, what questions you asked, what the AI answered, what thought process did that provoke in you, and why do you think that the character has this kind of ethical aspects, and AI thinks that this character has this ethical aspect. So basically, AI is a debate partner for developing analytical and critical thinking skills for those students. So she redesigned the whole learning process. And that's what we are doing now in Estonia by training the teachers to understand that the teaching has to change. And the learning has to change, and we have to do it differently compared to what we did past 200 years in school.
And how would that work, for example?
We as humans had to evolve in our capacity, in our cognitive capacity. When the printing press was invented back in 16th century, you know, 5% of the humans were literate, right? It was just very, you know, people had spent decades in learning to read and write, and most people could not do this. This was not within their cognitive capacity. The human brain was not in the development phase where everybody could do it. If you would transport anybody back in history to 16th century and tell to that person that 7-year-old or 6-year-old is capable to read, they would laugh at you saying that you are crazy. That's not possible. 6-year-old is not capable to read. Well, they are today, right? So human brain has evolved. The capacity, the cognitive capacity has evolved.
And how are you solving this?
Our argument in Estonia is that AI is doing the same push to our evolution of the brain capacity. We have to develop into humans who think faster, who think deeper, and who think more systematically compared to what humans were used to do before, because the computers and the AI is pushing us to do that. It's a challenger for us, and we have to do it. An education system is there at the center of where this has to happen.
And I guess that brings us back to your comment at the beginning about the importance of learning facts.
Because the education systems in the past only taught you what we call lower cognitive thinking skills. This is a fact. Please read it. Please memorize it. Please understand it. And that's the fact, then you have to take it and then apply it. And people treat LLMs today with those skills. Okay, I read it. That's a fact. I memorize it. I understand it. And I take it as a knowledge. Right? This is a knowledge. But this knowledge is not created by humans. It's not validated by other humans. It's created by machine through the statistical probability programming, right? So what we have to teach to the people nowadays is just that's not knowledge, what AI is creating. That's just a statistical program giving you a probability of words, putting together those. So you have to treat it as like this. And you have to have a debate with an AI about this. But in order to have a debate, you have to have your facts first straight. And that's why I think it's important to say that basic knowledge, this lower cognitive skills of memorizing facts, learning multiplication tables in math, learning basics of science, still has to be part of the education program, because you still have to learn it in order to have any capability of debating with an AI or having any analytical sort of learning process with an AI. So the main focus has to be to teach to the kids in schools what AI is, how it operates, and how you handle it. Because now people, I think, don't have the knowledge and skills to handle it.
So Estonia sees this as being a great opportunity for the kids.
What I do think that is wrong to do is to first just ban technology from schools and from the classrooms, because that's not going to help the kids who have to use it on every single aspect of their life.
And so how has Estonia been able to come to this completely different approach from most countries?
Maybe Estonia is an extraordinary in a way because we are completely online governed country. So all our public services are online. If you want to get married, if you want to get divorced, if you want to vote in elections, if you want to file your taxes, if you want to apply and register your name, everything is online. So you need to have a digital skills. You need to be able to handle computers, technology and any kind of digital tools in order to operate actually in the democratic system. So that's why in schools we embrace technology, we teach the kids to use technology. I see where the other countries are coming from a little bit different contexts, but nevertheless, I think everybody's moving to that direction, that the technology is part of our everyday life, everyday functioning where we are as humans. So it has to be part of education system. It has to be in the classroom, it has to be taught, it has to be used, and it has to be understood.
Thank you, Minister Callas. There's a lot we can learn from your approach to education, particularly when it comes to the most effective way to integrate AI into the way we teach our kids. With Soundbites, I'm Alan Davidson for CBS News.